So we're on Daf Ches Amud Beis. I'm just looking to see where we could start. Let's start again with Gufa. I know some of this is a Chazara, but it's always good on Yom Rishon to start with Chazara. So if you see Tosus Dibra Maskel Melamed, it's about five lines below that Tosfos, and if you're counting from the bottom of the Amud, it would be about 15 lines up from the bottom, Gufa. And the Gemara is quoting now Rebbe, who was quoted on Daf Ches in the Braisa, with regard to the Drasha of the Ptur Arayos and Tsaros, Minachalitzo Minayibum. Gufa, Rebbe Omer, it says in the Parsha of Yibum, and it doesn't say without a hey. Vilakach. Could have said Vilakach Loli Isha. But Ulakacha, it adds a hey. And Rebbe goes further. In the end of the pasuk, it says Viyibma with a mapik hey. It doesn't say Viyavam. And therefore, we have two drashos over here, two mi'utim, both the extra hay in the word v'lokach and the extra hay in the word v'yibem. Lesser tsoros v'arayos. So the Gemara says, midei tsoros k'siva hacha. I don't get it. The pasuk is not mentioning tsoros. The pasuk of tsoros is not in the parasha of Yibum in Kiteitze, but rather the parsha of Arayos in Sefer Vayikra, that's where it says the whole concept of Tzoros. V'od, and furthermore, Tzoros mi litzor nafka. We had a brisa at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel that derives the exclusion of a Tzoros erva for the word litzor. And therefore, why is Rebbe unsatisfied with the original drasha to exclude tsara from the word litzrar? Why does he feel compelled to dash in v'lakcha or v'yibma to exclude tsara? So the Gemara answers the second question, but not the first question. Litzrar, mapik le l'rabbi, Rebbe l'rabbi Shimon. Rebbe cannot afford the luxury of using the word litzar to exclude tsaras erva, because he needs the word litzar for the drasha Reb Shimon. And this drasha Reb Shimon is way, way later on in Masechet Yevamos, in a case of three achim, and two of them are married to two sisters. So we've got Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married, respectively, to Rachel and Leah, to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon die, both without children, and Rachel and Leah fall to Yibum to Levi, the third brother. And Rabbi Shimon is going to tell us that neither Rachel nor Leah require chalitza or yibum. And he darshens it from the pasuk Isha el achoso lo sikach litzar. Now, what does it mean, lo sikach litzar? At what point in time did they become tsaros? Zulazu. I mean, after all, Reuven was married to Rachel, Shimon was married to Leah. Why are they tsaros? And the answer is that Levi makes them into tsaros because of what's called zikas yibum. So with the death of both Reuven and Shimon, there's a zika for both Rachel and Leah, the two wives of Reuven, to Levi. And they are called tsaros, as if there's a mixas issues between Levi and both Rachel and Leah by virtue of the Zika. Says Rav Shimon, lo yiu lecha lekuchin bi'af achas mihen. that when the Torah says Ishalach Osalo Sikach Litzar, the extra word Litzar is coming to teach you that the beginning of the pasuk, which says Lo Tikach, prohibits Lekuchim for both of these Yevamos, of these of Rachel and Leah. And Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Shimon that at the moment of Nefila Liyibum, with the death of Reuven and Shimon, these two wives, respectively, are Skukos to Levi. And now you have two sisters that are Skukos Liyibum to Levi. And we potter up the tsaros, both of these two tsaros, as far as Levi requiring Libum or Chalitza. And again, only because of the concept of Zika, which makes them tsaros, Zulazu. And in such a case, since they're Achios, they're sisters, so each one of the two, whether it's Rachel or Leah, you can choose which one you want, is a sister to his Zkuka. And that makes her into a Tzaras Erva, because a Zkuka is considered like Ishus. And Rebbe accepting the drush of Litzar of Rebbe Shimon, he doesn't have the luxury of using Litzar to derive the Isur Tzara. He needs it from V'lakach, V'lakav, Yavam, V'yidma. Now the Chachamim hold against Rabbi Shimon, this is a Gemara later on, Daf Chaf Vav, that this is not called Achos Zikukaso Da'oraisa, and therefore she needs Chalitza, and there's no Yibam. Only Midrabanan is there no Yibam, because the Chachamim prohibited Achos Kukaso, but there's no Achos Kukaso Doraisa. The whole entity does not exist on a Doraisa level. Therefore, we must have a Chalitza over here. We can't allow Yibam because it looks like Achos Kukaso. Looks like Achos Ishto, I mean. But that's all the Rabbanim. So the Chachamim never accepted this drasha of Litzar of Rabbi Shimon to exclude on a Doraisa level Achos Kukaso as if she were Achos Ishto. If Rebbe adopts the position of Rabbi Shimon, then on a Doraisa level we need to derive from Litzar the case of Achos Kukaso equals Achos Ishto. That equation is derived from Litzar. We do not have Litzar as an extra pasuk. So basically, we're going to start with the derivation of Tzaras Erva from V'lakach V'lakha V'yavam Yuma. That's Rebbe. Now, once you have the psul of Achos of Tzaras Erva, we're going to apply Tzaras Erva through the extra word Litzar to Achos Kukaso, upgrading the status or equating the status of Achos Kukaso with Achos Ishto. So it's like one floor built on top of the other floor. We start with the ground floor, and that is Yavam V'yivma. That's going to exclude Tzaras Erva, because we have V'lokat V'lokha to exclude Erva, so V'yavam V'yavva. Once we have a breakthrough, and we've established that Tzaras Erva is out of the picture as far as Yibum, no Chalitza, then we're going to apply it to the case where, as we said before, Reuben and Shimon each marry one of two sisters, and then they both die. These two sisters fall for Yibum to Levi, and each one is Achos Kukaso, and the Torah, through the Pasuk Litzar, considers them as Achos Ishto. And now we apply the principle of Tzaras Erev. Now, some of the Mepharshim are going to argue that this has nothing to do with Tzaras Erva. The reason why according to Reb Shimon, and Rebbe accepts Reb Shimon, neither Leah nor Rachel need require chalitza at all, it's not because it's Tzaras Erva. It's because each one is an Erva. They happen to be Tzaras, but that's irrelevant. What undermines the Yibum, meaning the Zika or requirement of chalitza even at bare minimum, is the fact that we have an Erva over here. That's really fascinating because the paradox is that the reason why, let's choose one of the two, let's say Rachel. Why is Levi excluded from Yibum and Chalitza vis-a-vis Rachel? Because she is Achosa Kukasa, which is very interesting because it's only because of the Zikas Yibum that we generate Afkas Yibum through the Erva relationship equating Zika with Ishus. But bottom line is that he's got a Zika, Levi has a Zika to both Rachel and to Leah. That creates an Ishus. And therefore, each one of these two are Achos Ishto, basically. Achos Kukasa, which is equal to Achos Ishto. That's all according to Reb Shimon, and that's a Doraisa Halacha. And we don't have to invoke the principle of Tzara at all. Forget about the principle of Tzara. So the Gemara asks the following kasha, and we're going back to Rebbe's drasha of Vilakach, etc. Tzara, hocha, ksiv? What about the first kasha that we asked? We had two kashas, the first kasha of which was that the pasuk doesn't mention a word about tzara, or tzaros. Now how can you derive from this pasuk to exclude a tzara and put her back into this erva of Eishes Ach? Where? Where is it saying this possible word about Tzara? Hachikoma, this is what Rebbe had in mind. Im Kain, if you have a Tzara of an Erva, and if she would be Muteres, Liyibum, is Lema Kra, the Pasuk should have said, V'lakach lo Le'isha, my Ulekacha, lowly isha. Why the extra hay? From the fact that the Torah adds the extra hay, we're going to derive the conclusion that this pasuk is talking about a person who dies and he leaves two wives for Yibum, and the Torah is commanding vilakcha, and take her, meaning one of the two and not both. Which means the following, that the mitzvah of Yibum applies. There's an A and a B over here, two sides of a coin. It applies when he has an option to marry two wives of his late brother. And the Torah is telling you, marry one of them and not both of them. That the mitzvah of Yibum only applies to one of the two. Take your choice, but marry one of them. But you have a choice. Because your brother Reuven died and left two wives. And you could be miyabim any either of them. And that's v'lakcha, meaning take one of them for Yibum, and not the other one. Not both. But you could have taken both. And the Torah is offering you a choice. Kol hecha de'ika trei likuchin, when he has two options that he can marry either of these two wives of his late brother Reuven, is then there's a mitzvah of Yibum, Diboy Nosiv Hai, Vibosiv Nosiv Hai, and the Torah says, Sharia. They're both Amutaros Liyibum, but he can only be Miyabim one of them. But the Elo, if he cannot be Mekayim V'lokcha on both of them, in other words, he doesn't have that choice to choose one over the two of them, then Travayu Asirim, there is no Yibum at all. Not for her, nor for her tzara. And here's how Rebbe derives that Arayos Apotros es Tzaraseyim bi Yibum. So now I want to give you a summary of Tosis Divra Maschil Kol. Kol Hecha Deika Train Lekuchen. He says the following. Im Kain, Af Yevama Asura Biser Esei. We always said that the din of Tzaras Erva, who's excluded from Yibum, applies to a real Erva, meaning she's the Tzara of an Erva that would generate a Chiyuv Kares. That's not so. According to Rebbe, that premise, which operates all over Masechta Yevamos, is not correct. I don't care what the Iser is. Let it be an Iser Lav, like Almana L'Kohen Gadol. Let it be an Iser Esei, in the case of a Bu'ula L'Kohen Gadol. In any case, he doesn't have Train L'Kuchen. He doesn't have the option of marrying both of them. Im Kain, Ach Bi Yevama Asura, Bi Iser Esei, Deshanina Lekamon, Gemara Daf Chaf, Choletes Velomis Yabemes, Tiftar Es Tzarasa. She should not go off Atzara. Shari Eina Yochel Yabma. He can't marry the Iser Esei. Is Memela, he has no Lekuchen vis-a-vis her, and therefore there's no Yibam at all, even vis-a-vis the second wife, because he doesn't have a choice of two wives. Kol Hecha, Dieno Yochel Akayim V'lokcha B'achas Mehen, B'achas Mehen means in any one of them, meaning in both of them he could be Makayim V'lokcha, is then, if he cannot, Harehi Asur B'shteyem, he should be prohibited from Yibum in both of them. And yet the Gemara says, Choletzes v'lo mesia bemes. Now again, as far as the Iser Esei is concerned, I can justify Choletzes v'lo mesia bemes, because I'm going to say that there is a Zikas Yibum, but we're not going to allow Yibum because of the Iser Esei, and therefore we're just simply going to fly, we're going to rely back, fall back on Chalitza. But now you're telling me that Hatzara is Misya Bemes. According to Rebbe, that's not so. How could a Tzara be Misya Bemes when there's no option for him to be Miyabim the other girl, and he has only a din of Yibum when he has the option to marry both of them, each one of them? That's kasha number one. Now Tosfos is another kasha. Rebbe does not use the word litzar to exclude a tzaras erva. Minayin lo sheyesh kares al tzaras erva. Now here we're going to go back to an earlier sugya that derives the conclusion that a Tzaras Erva has the din of an Erva. And what is the source that Tzaras Erva is an Erva? She herself would engender a Chiyuv Kares. It's from the Pasuk V'nichrasa in the word Litzar, in the same Pasuk as Litzar. So you have V'nichrasa and Litzar in the same Pasuk. Now, if Rebbe doesn't derive Tzara from the word Litzrar, then how does Rebbe derive the conclusion that a Tzaras Erva is considered an Erva, when the derivation of that halacha is from Litzrar in its contiguous position to V'nichras on that pasuk? But Rebbe is not deriving the p'tur of Tzaras Erva from Litzrar. He needs that for the case of two brothers marrying two sisters, etc. Rather, he derives it from the Yavam V'Yibma. So how do I know, from whence do I derive the conclusion that a Tzaras Erva is herself an Erva? So maybe, Tosa says, you'll argue that according to Rebbe, a tzaras erva is not an isur kares. We don't have a source from which to derive litzar v'nichrasa that there's an isur kares in the case of a tzaras erva. Now, if that be the case, says Tosa, she should require chalitza. Our mission establishes, nobody argues, that tzaras erva ain't a misyabemis v'ain a chaletzes. But now you're telling me that tzaras erva is not an erva. If she's not an erva, then you could exclude her from yibum under the technicality of the mapik hay that you don't have a choice of the two because the other one's an erva. That I understand. So that would exclude yibum. But why is she excluded? Why don't we require chalitza? We should require chalitza and tzaras erva. Now listen, Rabosa, if anybody tells you that a tzaras erva needs chalitza, send them to me. I'll do a job on it. There's no such thing. Certain things in Masechta Yevamos just are positions that are intolerable. No one could say that a tzaras erva requires chalitza. Except for Havamina and Tosfos, because Tosfos says, according to Rebbe, doesn't have litzar, which is the source for a chiyuv kares and tzaras erva, then a tzaras erva is only, let's call it an isur essay, but it's certainly not a chiyuv kares, because Rebbe doesn't have a source for a chiyuv kares in tzaras erva. Then if it's only an isur essay, why doesn't she fall for yivam at least as far as chalitza is concerned? I understand she's excluded from yivam because the Torah says that yivam only applies when you have a choice of two ladies. And therefore, says Tosfos, if Nomar al libe the Rebbe Shachen ein bo kares, yesh lo l'schayev b'chalitza. K'mo chay v'yese. V'lo patrida mechalitza l'chay v'krisus bilvad, which is our case of Tzaras Erva, except for Rebbe. According to Rebbe, Tzaras Erva is not an Erva, l'chor, because we don't have the pasuk v'nichrasu in Litzar, because Litzar is not referring to Tzaras Erva. I mean to say, Litzar is referring to Tzaras Erva, but we don't have that derivation because Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, and you can't use Litzar for Tzaras Erva. So Tzaras Erva is only excluded from Yibum because the Torah commands you to choose one of these two wives. But as far as Chalitza is concerned, Tzaras Erva, according to Rebbe, should require Chalitza. Who ever heard of such a thing? The H. Lomar Tosus answers Chayve Essay Sheyesh Bem Zika Lechalitza Harei Bechlau Velakcha Veshapir Choshev Sheyesh Lekuchem Vishteyem. What was Tosus' first Kasha? That Chayve Essay, according to Rebbe, should be excluded from Yibum. Why? Because Chai Ve'esei are outside the purview of choose one of these two ladies. The Tosfos says, no. Chai Ve'esei are included in V'lakcha. And why? Kevon sheyesh lahem zika lechalitza. Since Chai V'Yeser require chalitza, so you see that there is a zika. Therefore, I have to conclude that Chai V'Yeser are included under lecha. Obviously, Tosfos is not learning V'lakcha the way we interpreted V'lakcha. Because the way we interpret it is, he could have a marriage relationship with any of these two wives. That's not true in the case of Chai V'Yeser. But Tosfos' point is that it's considered V'lakcha because it's a zika for chalitza. How does a Zika for Chalitza operate in this context? So one thing you see from Tosfos, that Zika is multifaceted. And we've touched on this in the past, but here is most profound. You can have a Zika in the full sense for Yibum, and then you could have situations where the Torah excludes Yibum, but yet there is a Zika. And of course, if you ask me how that Zika expresses itself, she's not allowed to marry anyone. She's considered like an Eishes Ish to some extent. Her Raya, the Yavam has to give a Chalitza. So as far as the Yavam is concerned, he's excluded from being Miyabim her. But nevertheless, the Zika is still alive and well. Hence, she needs Chalitza. If there is Zika, she needs Chalitza. Because the Zika now means that she's got an Eishes Ish relationship, a quasi-Eish relationship, Lesara al Kuli Alma. Right? Tos says at the beginning of a sect of Kiddushin, Kiddushin is like Hegdesh, she's Asura Kul Alma. Here also, she's Asura Kul Alma. Because the Torah recognizes the Zika, and until there's Chalitza, she's not allowed to marry anyone. Could be if she marries someone, the child from that marriage would be a mamzer. I don't know. Tosis says that once you admit that there's a Zika, then you have to say that it's included under Velakha. Not Velakha in the active sense of marrying this woman because of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. There is no mitzvah of Yibum in the case of a Chai V'Yaseh, but at least she is Zikukaso. Harai she needs Chalitza. And if she is Zikukaso, then there is a kind of lekuchim here, not an active lekuchim, where he needs a maisabia or so forth, but rather a given. There's a given Zika that is thrust upon him as a result of the death of his brother, and therefore it's included under this pasuk of v'lakcha, that you have lekuchin in shneim. Here, he doesn't have lekuchin in shneim. You'll ask me, what do you mean he doesn't have lekuchin in shneim? Tosus asks, we have a gemara later on, that chai v'yesei is choletzes v'lo misyabemes. And therefore, Tosus had argued, again, I'm just reviewing the argument to Tosus, that she should now pater up Hatzara. And the answer is no. She won't pater up Hatzara because she's included under Velakha. And why is she included under Velakha in the case of Chai V'Yaseh? Because of the Zika, which, as we said before, expresses itself in the requirement of Chalitz. Gemara asks for Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who hold that we use the pasuk litzar to derive the p'tur of tzara in the case of a tzara's erev was hay v'lokcha may of delay. After all, Rebbe is right. The extra hay has to be interpreted. What are you going to derive from the extra hay? You can't use it the way Rebbe derives it because you've already excluded tzara's erev from litzar. More answers, mi boile. L'chid Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, D'yom Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, V'lakcha lo li'isha, Melamed, Shemegarsha beget umachzira. Wow. Wow. So I'm trying to figure out here why there was a Havamina before this drasha that she would need chalitza. He was miyamim, correct? Otherwise, what does mimagarsha beget? So what's the havamina that she would require chalitza in this case? He married her, he divorced her. Now he wants to remarry her. No, she needs chalitza. And I think we've said in the past that once he's mekayim the mitzvah of yibum, then the zika is gone. She's an eishes ish l'chol davar. Why would there be any havamina that she needs chalitza? So let's take a look at Tosfos. I don't know, Tosfos is learning this a little differently. I thought that the Gemara is throwing out a Havamina, which I don't understand, that she requires Chalitza. But I don't think that's what Tosfos is saying. Malami shegirsha begetu machzira, magarsha begetu machzira beperkach choleitz amrinon deitzrich. Salke daitach mitzvah derami rachman alei avda. Hashta take him alea be iser ashes ach. Once he divorces her, she becomes ashes ach. So it's not the way I said it, that he wants to remarry her, he's got to give her chalitza. But rather, he's not allowed to marry her. She's an Erev. So what is this Havamina, that word? Again, I'm going to say something that needs a lot of improvement, so I'm going to ask you to help me improve it. That Mitzvah Yibum doesn't end with beer. It's an ongoing Mitzvah Yibum. The fact that he gave her a get that should not undermine the Mitzvah Yibum. Of course, he was Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. So we're not going to require of him to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum a second time around. It's his decision that he wants to remarry her. But nevertheless, although we won't require Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum is in the background. In what sense? To generate an Iser Eishes Ach. But there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So when the Torah gives you a mitzvah of Yibum, that undermines the Erev of Eishes Ach. But if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, you worry it was Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. So she goes back to a state of Eishes Ach, and now it's Shalom B'Mokam Mitzvah. He has no option. I mean, this is not the only case in the world where a get is final. For example, in a case of a Kohen, a get is final. In a case of a person who divorces his wife and she marries someone else, that is final. There's no way you can, recreate a situation where he can marry her a second time. No, the get is final. That's it. They're never the twain shall meet. And now we have a third case in the Havamina. This is not Lamaskona, but in the Havamina, where the get is final. The man was chayv in Yibum. He was mekayim in the midst of Yibum. Once he gives her a get, he can never remarry her. Why? Because she becomes an Eishes Ach. And there's no mitzvah of Yibum. But how could she become an Eishes Ach? He was just married to her. He was married to her, but only in the context of Yibum. Meaning, like, as if every time he has an intimate relationship with her, it's based on the mitzvah of Yibum. Potentially, she's an Eishes Ach. I mean, she was married to his brother, Narvas, mitzvah Yibum. So as long as there's a marriage relationship, there's a framework of mitzvah Yibum, which is matter the Eishes Ach. Once the mitzvah Yibum is paka, she goes back to her original status of Eishes Ach. Mamish wild.
Would this be only if they had a child?
No.
If they didn't?
They didn't have a child. Because the man terminates Yibum with get. That's it. No more Yibum. And once he was Mekayim in the midst of Yibum, we're not going to ask him, we're not going to obligate him a second time around in the midst of Yibum. But nevertheless, she's an Eishes Ach. So Kolzman, as long as he was in the framework of the original marriage relationship before he gave her a get, and there was a Yibum, so the Yibum sort of expresses itself or stretches itself and hovers over the Ishus. It's an Ishus of Yibum, a new Ishus. And every time he has a relationship with her, it's in the framework of Yibum. That's the, you know, the license, so to speak. The license and the heter that removes the Iser Erev of Eishes Ach is Yibum. And we would have thought Yibum is only in the first Bia. But no, every single Bia. I mean, Tosfos now is going to raise the question of other Bias, but before we get to Tosfos, every single Bia is a Bias Yibum. Because that marriage relationship spills over and encompasses the entire Bia relationship as if it were a Bias Yibum. Within the framework of the mitzvah of Yibum, that's what's going to be Mata, the Iser Eishes Ach. But the moment he gives her a get, the Iser Eishes Ach now steps out high profile from the shadows and he can't marry her. You'll tell me he's Mekai in the midst of Yibum. No, he can't be Mekai in the midst of Yibum. He already was Mekai in the midst of Yibum, and that, so one time effort, you know, saying you were one shot at the upper plate. That's all. We're not going to give you another option. Very, very wild. Havamina. And now we need an extra pasuk, according to the Rabbanan of Rebbe. And that extra pasuk is going to teach me that if he wants to remarry her, he can remarry her. So if you ask me, I would say the following. The kamashmalon here of the pasuk v'lakcha, according to Rabbanan, is not that there's a new mitzvah of Yibum, like Steve, you were, I think, leading us during that path, because maybe they had no children. No. Forget about that. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. But there's no Iser of Eishes Ach. We thought, Nahavamina, that now that we remove the Ishus and there's no longer a framework of Yibum, she goes back and reverts to her status, original status in Eishes Ach. Kamash Malan, no. Once he marries her, and she is now his wife, she is never, ever considered to be the wife of his brother. Which again, you know, that's interesting as well. But the Torah recognizes the Yibum to create an Ishus of Eishes Ish. Once she's an Eishes Ish, you can't tell me that now she becomes Eishes Ach. The Eishes Ach was gone. The Torah was Matir Eishes Ach with Yibum. The man was Mekayim in the midst of Yibum. And the Eishes Ach is gone. it will never resurface. And hence, even after he gave her a get, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum, he can still marry her. And she's not Eishes Achiv. Again, the Metzius, nobody can deny that she was married to his brother Reuven, which is an Erev of Eishes Ach, which applies even after his death, had he died with children, for example. But in this case, that the Torah already recognized Shimon's relationship with this woman as Ishus, she's a full-fledged Eishes Ish, then the Torah completely removes the Iser Erva of Eishes Ach. That's what it seems, to the best of my understanding. Oh, he quotes here the Meiri, who says that Li'achar Shiyibma Paka Mimena Ishus Ha'ach Hames Legamri. It's like one Ishus replaces the other Ishus. Again, that's not if a fremder, you know, if a stranger would marry this woman, that wouldn't remove the, you know, the Ishus Ach relationship to the other, you know, to the other brothers. If somebody from the street, you know, would marry her. But if one of the brothers marries her, then at that point, Paka Mimena, the language of the Meiri, Ishus Ha'ach Hames. The Ishus of Ach Hames is completely gone. I'm just thinking out loud if I can't come up with a case, but if we ever would come up with a case, let's say with half brothers or something, where one of the brothers, the surviving brothers, would be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum, and then subsequently he would die or give her a divorce, would another brother, who's not obligated in Yibum, be allowed to marry her? That's a fascinating question, is it not? There must be a black and white sugya about this. Do you hear my question? Reuven dies, etc., and Shimon is miyabim, Eishes Reuven. Gandit, the mitzvah of Yibum has been fulfilled. Shimon dies with children, whatever. So there's no Yibum. Levi wants to marry this woman who was married to Reuven, and then Shimon was miyabim her after Reuven's death. Can Levi marry her? And there's no mitzvah of Yibum at this point. You know, intuitively, Levi Omer Li that he's not allowed to marry her. She's Eishes Ach. We just finished saying Kamash Malon that once Shimon is miyabim this woman, she's no longer Eishes Ach. That's only vis-a-vis Shimon. She's no longer Eishes Ach. Because Shimon, through Yibum, steps into his brother's shoes, his late brother's shoes, Reuven. But I don't know if that has any bearing on Levi. If Levi doesn't have Yibum, then we're back to Eishes Ach. Again, it's not a fair case to ask about because she's Eishes Ach mitzad Shimon. Well, I want if we could isolate it, I don't think it's feasible, but if we could, in a theoretical sense, if let's say she was not Eishes Ach mitzad Shimon, would she be Eishes Ach mitzad Reuven? Or do we say no, that once Yibum took place, as far as all the other brothers are concerned, there's no longer Eishes Ach?
Well, if he was a maternal brother to Reuven, not a brother at all to Shimon.
Right, so then he's like a person from the street. I mean, I have no doubt that, you know, if there's no mitzvah Yibum at all, that Shaychus, let's say a maternal brother or so forth, then there's Eishes Ach. Because Eishes Ach works through a maternal brother as well. So if my maternal brother is married to a woman, I can never marry her. Never, ever, because there's no Yibum in that case. So that's Pashut. I just wanted to know, is it possible that the Yibum would remove the Eishes Ach relationship vis-a-vis all the brothers. Brothers who are, let's say, paternal brothers, but there's no longer Yibum because Shimon was already Mekayim in the midst of Yibum, so Levi's not obligated in Yibum. Can he marry this woman b'toras a regular, or is it Eishes Achiv? Because when we say that the Erev of Eishes Achiv is completely, shall we say, liquidated, that's only vis-a-vis that one particular brother. After his Yibum, he established her as Ishto, she's an Eishes Ish l'choldov, she's no longer Eishes Achiv. That has no bearing on Levi. So as far as Levi is concerned, she's Eishes Achiv, and if Levi doesn't have a mitzvah of Yibum, which I doubt if he does, when Shiva was Makai in the mitzvah of Yibum, then she becomes Eishes Achiv. In other words, our entire sugya and the drasha now of the Rabbanan of Halakha is only going to allow Shimon, after Yibum, when he divorces his wife, to remarry her. But, you know, that has no bearing on any of the other brothers. Again, as I keep emphasizing to you, it's not a good case, because as far as the other brothers are concerned, Memela, anyway, she's Eishes Achiv, because Shimon was Miyabim her. But again, if you'd have a case where Reuven had two brothers, but only one of them was in the parish of Yibum, but they both have Eishes Achiv, would we say that if one brother who's obligated in Yibum is Mekayim Yibum, then as far as all the other brothers are concerned, she's no longer Eishes Achiv? I don't think so. Libra Omer that he would not be allowed to marry. But again, I don't, you know, it's something that we can think about. Now let's go on in Tosfos. Tema. The mashma de labia shnia lo tzar krola hatir. Wait a second. If you're telling me that once the mitzvah of Yibum is past history, it's been done, you know, I've been there and I've done it, then the Yisraishis Ach, according to our Hava, I mean, it goes back and it's chozer v'niyar. So what about bia shnia? The mitzvah of Yibum is only fulfilled with the first bia. We haven't gotten to that sugi yet, but we've touched on it in the past. Then as far as bia shnia is concerned, what's going to allow the Yavam to continue his marriage relationship with the Yavama after he's already fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum with Bia Rishona? Now in Bia Shnia she should revert back to the original Erev of Eishes Ach, and there's no matir of the mitzvah of Yibum. For mitzvah de Rami Alei of the Bia Rishona, the Bia Shnia lo dach yachayve lavim. Okay, so this is a sugi that we're not up to yet. But Bia Shnia does not override Chayvei Lavim. In the case of Chayvei Lavim, he's Miyabima, and immediately after the Yibum is consummated, he has to deliver a divorce. So if that be the case, we see that Bia Shnia is not part of the mitzvah of Yibum. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum with Bia Rishona. And if that be the case, then after Bia Rishona, if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, she should go back to the status of Eishes Ach. But again, in my humble opinion, again, who am I? I'm nobody, but I would say this cash is not a cash at all. Because he hasn't divorced her yet. And until he divorces her, he might not have a mitzvah of Yibum, but there's Eishes Ish. And Eishes Ish, once the Torah recognizes and validates his marriage relation to this Yavam, so there's Tzvei Dinim, there's one din of Yibum, and there's another din of Eishes Ish. As far as the din of Yibum is concerned, after the first Bia, it's history. Forget about it. Finito. It's over. There's no longer Yibum but Bia Shnia. But as far as Ishus is concerned, until he delivers a get, he was Kona Abashus Ish with Yibum. Okay, it happens to be with the mitzvah of Yibum, he was Kona, but that's irrelevant. The element of Ishus, of Ashus Ish, is independent of Yibum. Like, let's say, for example, I would say Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah. And he didn't have Kavanah when he was Miyabim. So he forfeits the Mitzvah of Yibum. But she's still Ishto. She's still Eishes Ish. Once she's Eishes Ish, the Torah cannot possibly consider her an erva of Eishes Ach. V'yesh lomar debiya shniya lo tzricha kra debisvarahu delo omar achmona yovo aleo legarsha acher biore. He says it in a very technical way. I would like to think that he has, I don't know, this is a chutzpah on my part, but he has the same svar that we said in mine. He's saying that the Torah didn't say that after Bir Rishon, you have to give her a divorce. Vushteta, you know, the Torah should have had to specify that. That Yivama Yavo Leo, the Girsha. You know, Liachar Yivu, he has to be Megarisha. Where does it say that? Umikomakom, Biashnia Lodachya, Chayvi Lavim, Dirishusi, Veleka Esay, Elabibir Rishon. So again, as far as the case of Chayvei Lavin is current, the Gemara establishes that immediately after Yibum, wakes up the next morning and gives her a get. He has to divorce because she's Eishes Achiv Shalom Makom Mitzvah, and there's nothing here to be Docha the Losas. But if you ask whether or not he has allowance, he has a heter. Just 1 second. Let me get this straight. Again, in the case of Bishnia. Right. If you're talking about Eishes Ach, and that's the only issue on the table, so then the Torah says, if he's married to her, and we recognize and validate the Eishes here as an Eishes Ish, then there's no erva of achos of Eishes Achiv. But if you talk about a case where he is only allowed to consummate this marriage and be mekayim the mitzvah yibum under the law of esei docha losaseh, you know what? This, I'm telling you, Rabosai, libi omerli, this I'm really convinced, that Tosis is making a distinction between Hutra and Dechuya. I know you may laugh because that's already so trite, you know, how many millions of times have we spoken about Hutra and Dechuya? But I do think that it's very appropriate, it fits like a glove. Because in a normal case of Yibum, the Torah is Matir Eishes Ach. And the Torah is not going to recreate that Iser Erev of Eishes Ach after he marries her. She's Ishta. But that's Hutra. What happens in a case where the Yavama is, let's say, an Almona, and the Kohen Gadol is the Yavam, right? Chayve Lavim. So in Chayve Lavim, there's no Hutra. Nothing removes the Isra Eishes Ach. The only thing we'd apply is Ese Docha Losase. Says Tosis, that only applies to Bir Rishona, when he's being Mekayim the essay of Yibum, but not to Bir Shni. Very nice. So the Gemara now wants to know the following. We could justify, according to the Rabbanon, one of two of Rebbe's drushes. Rebbe, if you recall, had two drushes. He's got the extra hay in V'lokach, and the extra hay in V'yavam. So we've already justified the extra hay of the lakha, according to the Rabbanon, to teach me that once he was mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum, even after he divorces her, there's no Eishes Ach, and he could remarry her. But what do we do with the extra hay of the word V'yavam? So the Gemara says, V'yibma Bal Korcha. See, it's really interesting. These two drashos of the Rabbanon are fundamentally different one from the other. One drasha addresses the law of erva and the question about whether or not this man, who's Mekayim Yibum, after the can he be Makadishar? Obviously not within the framework of Yibum. Is she an Eshesah? So what we're doing now is we're learning Dine Arayos. When does the Erev of Eshesach apply, and when does it not apply? And then Afkamina is, can he marry this woman? Because how can he marry an Erev? And the Torah says, V'lokcha, go ahead and marry her. You made a mistake by divorcing her. Marry her again. The second drasha is a different ball game. The second drasha is on the avam, meaning on the mitzvah of Yibum. And it is now revealing something of very, very great importance with regard to the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, obviously, once we establish the mitzvah of Yibum, it's going to have repercussions as far as arayos are concerned. Because if we're going to tell me that even in this scenario, which we'll describe in a minute, right, of Bal Kocha, there is a mitzvah of Yibum, then Memela, she's Eishes Ish. And if anyone would have a relationship with her, he'd be Chayav Misa because of Baal Eishes Ish. And if he divorces her, he can remarry her and so forth and so on. That's as far as Arayos, but that's a spin-off of the laws of Yibum. The second drasha belongs, your title will be Yibum. Now, Yibum requires Das. It's no different than Kiddushin. She becomes an Eishes Ish. So a man falls off a roof onto his Yivama, if you know what I mean. That's not Yibum. Yibum means to marriage. Marriage requires Das. I mean, the first requirement of marriage is Das. All right, there are other requirements. You need a Gadol, who's got to be a Bar Das, but this is all because of the requirement of Das. In fact, there's a whole Sugi Baba Basra. If somebody puts a gun to your head and says, marry her or I'll kill you, whether or not that marriage is valid. Could be that he has Das, because he'd rather marry this woman and survive than drop dead and be killed with a bullet through his brains, right? So that's also Das. Tolyu v'zavin, zvini zvini. Tolyu v'kidesh, kidesh. The Gemara actually comes to the conclusion that the Kiddushin is not valid, if I remember correctly. It's a sugi in the third parrot of Babas. But certainly there's a requirement of Das. Maybe, you know, with a gun to his head, he has Das. I don't know. But what's Bal Korcha? But again, the answer is that the Dot is in the hey, you know, in the feminine. The Yibma, he has Das. She doesn't have Das. And if I would wake up a Talmud Chacham in the middle of the night and say, can you marry a woman against her will? He's going to yell and scream, of course not. To the same extent, you need Das HaMakadosh, you need Das HaMiskadoshes. And I'll ask him a little further, if he's still half awake. And I'll say, well, is there any situation in the entire gamut of Halacha where you could marry a woman against her will? And the answer is yes. And that's Yibum. And in my mind, the only way we could justify that is through the concept of Zika. That with the death of Reuven, she, we'll call her Leah, is Kukav Omedes to Shimon. She's already on the way to being his wife. We just need the clincher. The Makav Apatish. So in this case, he dives from the roof deliberately, and she Nevuch is Karka Olam, as we say. You know, she's now an Eishes Ish. Because Yibum applies even Bal Korcha. Again, I mean, Rav Soloveitchik would look at me very negatively for saying this, but hashkafa-wise, it means that this is a relationship between two brothers. This is the Jewish concept of brotherhood. Your brother died without children, and the obligation is on him. Again, we had long discussions, if you recall, whether she's Mekayim and Mitzvah, because in the case of Esei Docholosase, if she's not Mitzvah in the Mitzvah of Yibum, so very nice that his essay of Yibum is Docholosis, but what about her? And we quoted at least one source to indicate that she has a mitzvah of Yibum as well. But fundamentally, it's his mitzvah. And she has no say in the matter. And even Bal Kocha. But imagine, issues without Das HaMiskadeshes. She's a full-fledged ish, and she didn't have das. It was against her will. And this can only be possible because standing on the shoulders of Zikas Yibum. There's already a Zika. It's mind-boggling, because what it really means is, when you think about it, when she agreed, way back when, to marry Reuven, Oliver Sholem, right, but during his lifetime, she also agreed, theoretically, to be married to one of Reuven's brothers. Again, it's hard to get those words out of the mouth, but what I mean to say is that's what she signed on for. Because in event that her wonderful, young, strapping groom dies never without children, then whether she likes it or not, his surviving brother could effectuate a marriage relationship with her. Now again, there's no Zikas Yibum until Reuven dies. But inherent in the marriage between Leah and Reuven is a potential Zika to Shimon. What do you mean? I didn't bargain to marry Shimon. I bargained to marry Reuven. Mamish wild. Again, if there was never a din of Das and Isha for Kedushin, okay, but the Torah was not that cruel. You know, the Torah recognizes that Ishus and Kedushin is a result of both his Das and hers. The full Sugyas of Masechta Kedushin about a case where, you know, he puts the money down and we don't know if she wanted to take the money or does she need the whole machlokas haposkim, whether she has to agree explicitly in front of two Adim that she wants to marry him, or is there an implicit agreement on her part? But you need Das HaIsha. In Gerishin, you don't need Das HaIsha. And now we're saying that in Yibum, you don't need Das HaIsha. Again, the question is going to be, according to Rebbe, how does he derive the conclusion that you don't need Das HaIsha on Yibum? That's the next Gemara. But no one questions this premise. That HaIsha Misyabemes Bal Korach. And Bal Korach means totally against her will. It doesn't mean, you know, that she didn't have Das, but she was distracted and she didn't know and this and that. No, no, no. She objects to the Yibum. Irrelevant. The Yibum is Chal. I mean, you see the power of the mitzvah of Yibum. I mean, we've been talking about it for many times. You know, Yibum could override in the Havamina even an Erevah, and maybe any Erevah. That's how far we had a Havamina. And Esi Dovalo Sashesh Bokares. But now we're going as far as you can go with the power inherent in the mitzvah of Yibum. Afilu Bar Koch. Which, by the way, could never have been derived from the hay of a lakach. Because then you're using terminology about kiddushin, about lakicha. Lakicha requires hadas. But when we get down to the next drasha, which is v'yavam, v'ybeim, v'yavama, it means yavama bal karcha. And she's an eisha sish l'chol dover. Okay, I see it's getting late. It's interesting, Rashi and other Rishonim talk about other aspects, other dimensions of Ishus. Like, for example, he was Miyabim HaBal Korch, and then she died. He inherits her estate. She's a full-fledged Eishes Ish. I mean, this is part of the story of Megillus Rus and so forth. Okay, then. So I'll wish you all a great day. And Belineta, tomorrow we can go back. Today we arrived in the middle of the night, but tomorrow we'll be back, hopefully in Mirtz Hashem, in Emek Rephaim. Okay, then? Have a great day.